So I want to begin by telling you a story. I don't know about you, but things appear on my computer from acquaintances or friends or from wherever, maybe the sky. This is a story that came on my computer several weeks ago. It occurred in a very busy airport in New York City. Airline flight had been canceled, and so people were lined up with the ticket agents trying to rearrange their flights and get to where they wanted to go. Suddenly, an angry passenger pushed ahead of all the other people who were lined up, slapped his ticket on the counter, and said in an angry voice, "I have to be on this flight, and it must be first class." The ticket agent replied, "I will help you as soon as I've helped all these other people waiting in line. I'm sure we can work something out for you." The angry man was not impressed. He said very loudly, "Do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitation, the ticket agent grabbed her phone, put the microphone on the speaker system. "May I have your attention, please? I have a passenger at gate 14 who does not know who he is." "If you can identify this passenger, please come to gate 14. Of course, her voice and the announcement was heard all over the speaker, all over the terminal. The people who were waiting in line were giggling. The man glared at the ticket agent and, using words that I won't use in polite company, suggested what he would like to do to her. And she responded, "Sorry, sir, you'll have to wait in line for that also." Now, I've told that story because it's a perfect illustration that there are at least two ways to engage the other. One way is anger, and one way is wit. When we are in a situation of engagement, we can be irritated and irresponsible, or we can stand and be calm and resourceful. The title of the sermon is Common Sense for Engaging the Other. Now, this sermon is going to be filled with aphorisms, and I had to look up to see, make sure that was the right word. An aphorism is a kind of a little short, pithy, P-I-T-H-Y, pithy saying, which has some truth to it. I want to suggest that there are some aphorisms, some common sense, as we engage one another, might be particularly helpful in the current political situation, but that's sermon for another day. I won't touch that. Just now, how do we engage other people, whether they're irate customers or whether they're friends with whom we may disagree? How do we engage others? The beginning point for all engagements is the mirror. Shakespeare put into the mouth of Polonius advice to his son Laertes, "This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to anyone." It seems to me the first step in engagement is to check one's motives. Doesn't matter who you're engaging with, friend or foe. Ask yourself some questions. Why is this important to me? What am I thinking? Who am I trying to justify? What do I want from this situation? Do I have to win this argument? And if so, why? Now, there's another element of looking at yourself in the mirror. I'm not a behavioral scientist, so I don't know all that's involved. But someone once said that Carl Jung said, if you can spot it, you've got it. If you see something you dislike in another person, maybe it's something you dislike about yourself. This above all, to thine own self be true. Now, moving from there, what are some methods for engagement? How can we engage better with our spouses, our partners, our children, our teenagers, our friends, board members? How do we engage? Well, the first hint is words that sink into your ears are whispered, not yelled. Second, the second reminder aphorism, you cannot unsay a cruel word. It goes with the third method of engagement. Silence is sometimes the best answer. Now, all of those about how to engage, those aphorisms, are actually summed up by the farmer who told the city slicker, "When you wallow with the pigs, expect to get dirty." In the mountains of southern Appalachia, where I grew up, there was another saying similar. It's not as polite as the farmer's. It is something to the effect that, be careful who's going to win if you get in a stinking contest with a skunk. The point just ask and consider how you want to engage others. How do you want to be an engagement with your spouse, with your partner, with your children, teenagers, somebody on the board, somebody in the congregation, somebody at work? How do you want to engage? Now, a second method about engaging, and it's close to the first, is timing. When you want to engage is crucial. I once knew a man who was owner and CEO of a large grocery store chain. He said he and his executives had a rule that you would never complain to a worker after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He was asked, well, why is that? And he said, because we like dogs. If you complain to a worker after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the worker is angry and goes home and kicks the dog. Here's an aphorism for timing and for method. Comes from the farmer, by the way. Life is simpler when you plow around the stump. And remember this. If you get to thinking that you're a person of some influence, try ordering somebody else's dog around. I'm going to share a personal story. My mother was probably the worst engager in the world. She could get into an argument with anybody about most anything, and she usually concluded that argument by saying, "I'll take it all the way to the Supreme Court." Well, she was not an attorney. We did not have an attorney. I'm not even sure she knew where the Supreme Court was or how to get there. However, in our home, she had a lot of common sense, particularly when my siblings, the three siblings and I, were arguing. She would say very calmly, "Just remember, it takes two to argue." Think about it. When I consider some of the current political situations in our country, I'm becoming more and more aware of an old adage: do not corner something that you know is meaner than you. We will never be able to outbully a bully. Now, up to this point, I've shared with you some aphorisms about how to engage. I want now to move to some common sense from the animal kingdom. I don't know about you, but I occasionally get gifts in the mail. Now, they're really not gifts because they always have a donation card to go with them. For some reason, I've been getting cards from nature. Well, for some reason, I know the reason, they want money. It's some wilderness group or something. Why I get them, I don't know. Here's a couple of the cards that I got. This is advice from a sea turtle. Stay calm under pressure. Think long term. Spend time at the beach. Amen. And then here's advice from a glacier. Avoid meltdowns. Be cool. Now, you know that you don't have to have a graduate degree. Get this. This is common sense. These are common aphorisms which will help us know how to engage. They can provide some direction. So whether you're engaging with someone from a different political perspective or engaging with teenagers, if you've ever had a teenager, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you're engaging with someone at a board meeting, whether engaging with someone at work, be sure that you will be effective if you think first. My father used to always remind me, be sure your brain is engaged before wagging your tongue. Now, one more bit of common sense about engaging. You know this. If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Perhaps the most reasonable suggestion for engaging is know when to stop. So I begin with a silly story about a ticket agent and an irate passenger. Then I moved on to Shakespeare's To Thine Own Self Be True. And I want to circle back now, very important, for how you look at yourself if you want to engage the other. There are three aphorisms for engaging the other, and it all has to do with mindfulness of yourself. First, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. Just think how much we learn from experience. Second, I don't remember where this came from, but I saw it somewhere, and I think it's really good. Live simply, love graciously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. Now, most of you know that I grew up in an open-minded Baptist congregation. Now, don't get excited. That's not an oxymoron. There are open-minded Baptists and there are closed-minded Baptists, and the closed-minded get the most attention. So maybe using leave the rest to God may sound a bit too theistic for some Unitarians. I don't know. So just replace the word God with whatever you consider to be ultimate. The point is, when we are at times when we are engaged the other way with others, sometimes all we can do is do the best we can and leave the rest to God. Which brings me to the final aphorism, aren't you glad? It's one I learned in seminary in homiletics class. Homiletics, by the way, is a fancy word for preaching. Here it is. The best sermons are lived and not preached. Now, that's common sense. It's common sense for preachers. It's common sense for all of us who engage with others. So maybe when engaging with one another, no matter what the situation is, we would do well to remember that old, old Quaker saying. I saw it on samplers in my grandmother's house. We grow too soon old and too late smart. Happy engaging. Thank you for listening.